to love as does the ocean, loving kindness as the flood. When the prince of a life, our ransom, shed for us his precious blood. Who is love will not remember, who can cease to sing his praise. He will never be forgotten throughout heaven's eternal day. Good evening, everybody. Welcome to today's webcast. We're so glad you've joined us once again. It always surprises us when we go live and we see the count of the number of people online going up. We think, yes, it's working.
Yeah, that's right. I mean, this thing with the internet, as Mark and I know, doing this for our 12th year doing this, it's you know, it takes a little bit of faith to that. Even the internet works, so we're happy that when it does, and we're even happier when you are there with us. So that's great. Thanks, everybody.
Yeah, we're part of a Facebook group that provides this software. And I was looking at a couple of posts today, and one guy who's a really professional guy, does a lot of good webcasts. He said today it was just really bad. You know, there was nothing. No change in his setup, nothing. And it just must have been a glitch somewhere on the internet out there. So we're kind of dependent on forces beyond our control, eh, Barry?
Absolutely. It's kind of like another expression of trust, right?
Yes.
Of course, we trust God, but we trust that he'll work out all the details and get all the pigeons off the wires.
That's our standard joke. You know, if there's a problem, it's the pigeon on the wire. So how are you, Barry? How's the week going?
I am doing well, my friend. And And we're in Canada, of course. You know that we celebrated our Canadian Thanksgiving in October.
Yeah.
And we have all our dear American friends. Tomorrow's a big day for American Thanksgiving, so we want to wish everybody a big happy American Thanksgiving. And also, just to celebrate with you, my darling wife is preparing a turkey as we speak for tomorrow. So we're going to be celebrating. You know, we have some family that lives in the United States as well. So we just feel like, you know, we're with you and celebrating Thanksgiving tomorrow too.
I kind of thought you'd be celebrating, Barry. So why didn't you tell us? You may have done this last week, but if you did, you can do it again. Tell us about GodLovesYou.tv and what has been launched.
Yeah. Thanks, Frank. Yeah, I did mention it last week, but if you didn't hear it last week, I have started a brand new daily devotional on the love of God. And Mark has been walking me through this and talking me off the ledge. I've kind of felt overwhelmed. But just to try to describe the love of God in 365 different ways, the aspects, the attributes, what love does for us. So yeah, it's every day. It's just there's a post, and it goes on Facebook and also at GodLovesYou.tv, and it's just a kind of devotional thought. And I mean, it was a bit of a stretch for me to do it, but and again, Mark's been very kind and gentle and compassionate towards me. But it's written in the first person, in again from God's perspective, and you know, I am, you know, not really feeling like, you know, I have the confidence that I can speak on God's behalf that way. However, it does say in 1 Peter that when you speak as if you're speaking the very words of God. So what I just do is I sit at my computer screen and I just ask Papa, what do you want to say to your kids about this particular aspect? And by faith, I write what I hear. And again, it's not an audible voice, but that's what I do every morning. So yeah, you might want to check it out. Yeah, thanks for mentioning that, Mark.
So that, of course, is on Instagram, Facebook, and you can actually subscribe for a daily email.
Yeah.
So whatever method of receiving that suits you, go for it. They are really good. Really enjoying them, Barry. It's always a toss-up. In the morning, I get three emails. You know, I get God Loves You TV, Father Heart TV, Daily Reading, and the Daily Promise, and it's kind of like eeny meeny miny mo, which one should I pick on first?
yes we have three daily devotionals, so it's can be a handful at times, but it's all good.
It is all good. So good. Anything else to tell us? Any other news?
No, nothing for me. How about you? What's new and exciting with you?
Yeah, just let me mention the school we got running in next March, if I may. We've got a Father Heart school in last week of March next year at Cloverley Hall. Beautiful place, very peaceful place, right in the middle of the countryside. They look after us very, very well there. And if you know you need an encounter with the love of the Father, I would really, really invite you to join us for this week. We really just want to take some time and have space to open our hearts and receive what the Father wants to do. You know, these are life-changing weeks. Yeah, it's a commitment in terms of time and finances, but actually it could be the best investment you ever make. And you know, I just want to invite you to join us. Winnette from the Netherlands is joining me and be one of the speakers. And I'm just excited about what Father's going to do in people's hearts. Now, I know many people watching this webcast have already done a very similar school, and you are welcome, of course, to join us again. But you've got friends, you've got churches, you've got people you know. And, you know, the best advert, you're our best advert. So just feel free to spread the news, tell everybody about it. It's on Facebook, it's on the website, and we would just love to welcome everyone to join us. So that's at the end of March, 26th to 31st, and you're all very welcome. So yeah, that's really my notice for the the day. We're just having a chat before we started, Barry and I. We're going to be running the weekly webcasts, and our last one before Christmas was Wednesday. It's going to be Wednesday the 15th of December. And then we'll be back on the 5th of January, 2022. So two or three more weeks, and then we'll take a couple of weeks for a Christmas break.
And I would just encourage everybody to send all your Facebook messages and emails to Mark for the December 15th, the Christmas party, so that he would have an appropriate light show in his in his studio, which he has the ability to do for our final Christmas broadcast. And yeah, I'm sure. Do you have sleighs and reindeer in the back that you can? You can't do that. I guess.
I don't have them, yet. But you know, maybe you know, you might wear your Santa hat or something.
Yeah. We'll figure it out.
We'll figure something out. Yeah. So, Barry, do you want to just pray for us before we get going?
Oh, for sure. Father, we thank you that, yeah, you're just so happy to describe yourself as love. God is love. Father, we just pray that as Mark shares with us tonight, that we would just have hearts open to, yeah, just a deeper imprint of your love than we've ever experienced before. That we would know that we're clothed in love, that our identity is in love, we are baptized in love, yeah. We are filled with love, we are surrounded with your love. You go before us, and you surround us, Father, in every way. And so we just pray that every heart would just receive something of substance of your love tonight. And I just pray a blessing on Mark as he shares, just for the clarity of your heart that you just want to pour through him. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Thanks, Barry. Can I bring you back in when I run out?
Absolutely, mate. I'll be here.
Good on you. Good. So, yeah, just want to talk about being clothed in love this evening. I'm just amazed. I am constantly amazed at how good our Father is. And the extent and the magnitude of his kindness and his love for us. And, you know, I just keep coming back to that myself and just saying, Father, you are amazing. And thank you that you're loving me. Thank you that you're loving me now. And I just want to invite you. As we have this time together, whether you're watching live or whether you're watching the video, I just want to invite you to open your heart to the Father right now, just to receive all that he wants to do. You know, we have that lovely picture in Luke 15 of the son coming home, the lost son coming home to the Father, and he stinks, he smells, he's dirty. But the Father covers him with the best garment. You know, all of that shame, all of that condemnation is covered. And it's covered in a garment of love. And so I just want to invite you to very simply just open your heart and allow the Father to cover you. Allow the Father to clothe you in his love this evening. You know, you might be feeling, you know, in condemnation, in guilt. You may be feeling shame, but the love of the Father covers all of that. And the beautiful thing is we don't have to deal with our shame. We don't have to deal with our condemnation. We don't have to deal with our guilt. We don't have to deal with our brokenness before he clothes us in love. He just puts his love around us. And you know, the amazing thing is once he's clothed us in his love, he begins that work of restoration and redemption. And I really just believe, I know in my heart that that's what he wants to do for many of us this evening. is he just wants to bring us into that embrace of love. His love is stronger than any feelings of guilt, any feelings of condemnation. His love is stronger than any shame you may be feeling. His love is just all embracing. And I want us to yield our hearts to that this evening. Like I've said, I just invite you to receive. And as we just spend this time with him, we spend this time in his presence, just in a sense, just ignore the issues. Ignore what you're feeling. Ignore what you're going through. Sometimes that's difficult to do, but just try and put all of that to one side and just allow him to clothe you in love. Just allow yourself to step into the embrace. Very often these other things, the shame, the condemnation, the guilt, the pain, the brokenness, they are so prominent in our mind. They're kind of like here, they're right in front of us, and they become a blockage or a hindrance to us stepping into the love that the Father has for us. And very often those things, they loom so large and they prevent us. But actually there's nothing that's too big. There's nothing that's too there's nothing that needs to get in the way with the Father just embracing you in his love. He wants to clothe us in his love. One of my favorite books of the Bible is Colossians. I just love the way Paul unpacks for us how we are in Christ, how we are established and built up in Christ, how our lives are hidden in Christ, with Christ in God. You know, and I just love the simplicity of that letter. See, Paul is writing about a tremendous mystery that has been hidden for years, but has been revealed through Jesus. And this mystery is incredible. And, you know, I remember being hit with this, if you like, as a revelation many, many years ago. And it, you know, I keep coming back to me, and it's one of those wow moments. And there's quite a few wow moments in Colossians. One of them is in chapter 2, verse 17, where Paul says, the reality is in Christ. The reality is in Christ. The truth, the substance of everything that we are about is in Christ. You know, and if that is the truth, and of course it is the truth that the reality is in Christ, then everything that is not in Christ is an unreality. And we give ourselves so often, don't we, to the unrealities of life. And yet Paul says the reality you need to know, the reality you need to experience, everything you need, the substance of everything you need is in Christ. And the mystery, this mystery that Paul is writing about, is an incredible mystery. And he summarizes it in one succinct sentence in chapter 1, verse 27, where he says, this mystery is Christ in you, the hope of glory. And that's what's been revealed to us by revelation through the Holy Spirit and through what Jesus has done for us, how Jesus has reconciled us to the Father and redeemed us back into the family, redeemed us back into our sonship, so that everything God had in mind before the creation of the world, as Paul writes in Ephesians chapter 1, that we would be redeemed back into our sonship, because that's always been the Father's heart. This is what has been won for us, for you and me, through the cross. Christ in you, the hope of glory. It's the restoration of our relationship with the Father and with the Trinity. it's a oneness. You know, we've been brought back into a oneness with the Father that was lost in the garden. And everything that was lost has been given back. In fact, we have received something greater than Adam lost. See, what Adam lost in the garden was the Father coming down in the cool of the day and walking with him in the cool of the evening in the garden. And that was great. I'm sure that was wonderful. But we have something greater. We have the presence of the Father living in us 24/7, 365 days. You know, we don't have a daily appointment, but we have a constant indwelling in him. And not, you know, we can get confused. We are in him and he is in us, you know. And this is this great, tremendous mystery that Paul reveals, and he puts it so wonderfully: Christ in you, the hope of glory. You know, Paul says in Colossians chapter 2, verse 6 and 7, he says, live your lives in him, rooted and built up in him, strengthened in the faith. You see, we've got Christ in us, but we are living in him. You know, we are rooted and grounded. We are established in him. As Paul says in Ephesians, we are established in love. See, the roots of our life go down into love. And the love of the Father is the thing that gives us our energy. It's the thing that sustains us. It's the thing that motivates us. It's the thing that gives us life. Jesus said, I've come that you might have life, and life in all its fullness. And when we understand this great mystery of us in Christ and Christ in us, we begin to understand the enormity of what it means to have our lives planted in love, what it means to have his love being the source of our life, the wellspring of life that bubbles up inside of us. You know, it's his love that is our food, our sustenance. It's his love that gives us energy. But this mystery that Paul is talking about, of us being in him and Christ being in us, is, you know, the more we look into it, the more we look at it, the more we see how simply amazing it is. In Colossians chapter 2, verse 9, Paul writes, he says, in him, in Christ, all the fullness of the deity lives in bodily form. You know, now just think about that. The fullness of God, right? The completeness of God the Father. The completeness of God the Holy Spirit. The fullness of the Holy Spirit. You know, everything that is God the Father, everything that is God the Holy Spirit is living in God the Son. You know, that's a lot of fullness. And Jesus came as a man and lived amongst us to show us what this fullness looks like. But this is not something we look at merely as a spectator. This is something we participate in, because if Christ is in us, then all of the fullness of the deity that is in Christ is also in us. I think that's good news. I think that's a lot of fullness, but it's good news. It's very, very good news that all the completeness, the totality of the Godhead, of the Trinity, is in Christ, and Christ is in us. And that has got to be something that makes us have a smile on our face. See, Paul says everything else is a shadow. We get caught up with the everything else, the idle notions of life, the rules of man, you know, and the apparent wisdom of mankind. And, you know, we get caught up with all of that. But yet Paul says the reality is in Christ. This is the reality, that all of the fullness of the deity is in bodily form. It's in Christ. And that fullness is in you. And you are in it. That takes our lives up a few notches. You know, because it's so easy for us to get sidetracked by something that may look pleasing and easy. But is it centered in Him? You know, it's so easy to get caught up with our independence or our performance, our striving, or our religious duty, that we miss the point that our lives are rooted in Him. That He is the source of our life, that we've been made alive in Him. And Paul says, if that's the case, if this is the reality, you know, the reality is Christ, if this reality, if this fullness is living in you, if all of the fullness of the deity is living within you, then Paul says at the beginning of chapter 3, therefore set your hearts on things above. Set your hearts on things above. Goes on to say, set your minds on things above. You see, if we've got all of the fullness of the Godhead living with us, within us, it will cause our eyes, it will cause our focus to become heavenward and not earthward. It will cause our vision, if you like, to be on Him, not on the things of earth that bog us down. To me, this is such a big vision. To me, this is such a big picture that we are invited to be a part of. You know, as I said a few moments ago, we're not spectating. We're invited in. We're participating. And it is so much better to participate than spectate. You know, it's, well, some things. There are some sports I would rather spectate than participate in. I like watching a good rugby match. I would not like to participate in that. But I would like to spectate. But, you know, generally, you know, what I'm talking about with this, you know, we're invited to be in this relationship, to be part of it, and not to look on from the outside. And when we fully understand what it is to be in Christ, to have the fullness of the Godhead dwelling in us, you know, Paul says something will happen. And it's actually not a very popular concept in the world. And sadly, it's becoming, you know, not a very popular concept within the church. But Paul says, if we are living as having been made alive in Christ, we will want to put to death, therefore, whatever belongs to our earthly nature. I'm just going to read a few verses from Colossians chapter 3, but, you know, this is not popular in many circles, but actually it's the key for us entering the fullness of life in a greater way. It's the key for us being liberated into the freedom that is ours as sons and daughters. So let me just read Colossians 3 verses 5 to 10. Put to death, therefore, that's pretty straight down the line, that's pretty clear. Put to death, therefore, whatever belongs to your earthly nature: sexual immorality, impurity, lust, evil desires and greed, which is idolatry. Because of these, the wrath of God is coming. you used to walk in these ways in the life you once lived, but now you must rid yourself of these things, such as anger, rage, malice, slander, filthy language from your lips. Do not lie to one another, since you have taken off your old self with its practices, and you have put on the new self, which is being renewed in knowledge in the image of its creator. There's that picture again of a garment, of clothing. You know, Paul says you have been wearing an old garment that is no longer appropriate for the life you've been called to live, the life you've chosen to live. So put off that old garment. Put on a new garment. Put on a new self, a new garment with its practices. And we'll look at what those are in a minute. You know, basically he's saying get rid of your old clothes and put new clothes on. Get rid of the old way of life, because now you've been brought into something completely new, completely different, that will transform you. And you can't wear your old jacket. You've got to take your old jacket off and put a new one on. The old one might have been comfortable. It might be your favorite jacket, but it's no longer fit for purpose. So get rid of it, he says. Paul says, get rid of it. And the wonderful thing is, he says, you've put on the new self, which is being renewed. You know, it's not like we have to wait till we're perfect before we put on the new garments. We can put on the new garments because of our standing in Christ. And as we do, we will go on being renewed. This, you know, the life of Christ, the love of the Father being revealed in us, the power of the Holy Spirit, it's an ongoing journey where we just go deeper and deeper into these things. And so don't ever get the idea that you have to be perfect before you have to be clothed in love. You know, Paul says very clearly here, get rid of the old, put on the new, and allow yourself to be renewed. And let's look at what this new garment is like. Paul gives us a bit of a clue in chapter 3, verses 12 to 14. He says, therefore, as God's chosen people, holy and dearly loved, clothe yourselves with compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, patience. Bear with one another. Forgive one another if any of you has a grievance against someone. Forgive as the Lord forgave you. And over all these virtues, put on love, which binds them all together in perfect unity. Above all else, put on love. Put on love. Do you know what really grieves me? I kind of have, you know, some of you will know this, but I kind of have a love-hate relationship with social media. I like it because it's a good way of staying in touch and in contact with friends. It's a good way of advertising events and so on. But it also is, it brings out the worst. It brings out the best in people, but it brings out the worst in people. And it grieves me when I look at some posts, maybe a Christian leader has posted something on Facebook, and you know, you read some of the comments and you think, gosh, are we even in the same family? You know, people might disagree with that leader, they might disagree with the stance that church takes, but some of the comments are kind of like, what? You know, and the trouble is social media, sorry, I'm just getting on my hobby horse, but social media allows us to act as the prosecutor and the jury and the judge all rolled into one. I kind of think it's living up the wrong tree personally. But how did I get onto that? Why I got onto that is very simple, because that is part of the old life that we've taken off. That's the the rage, the malice, the slander, the filthy language from our lips. That's, you know, we've taken that off. That's our old self. That's gone. And Paul says, clothe yourselves with compassion and kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. Bear with one another. You know, we're allowed to disagree with each other, but we can still respect and love one another. See, this is the new garment. And, you know, I know what I'd rather be wearing. I'd rather be wearing this garment of compassion, this garment of kindness, this garment of humility, this garment of gentleness, this garment of patience. See, I would, because that's reflecting the heart of my Father. That's allowing the fullness of the deity that is living in me to come out through me. See, if I've got my old clothes on, the nature of my Father is not going to be reflected through me. But as I get rid of that old, and as I put on these new garments, the garment of kindness, the garment of gentleness, what I will be doing is I will be reflecting the nature of the one who lives in me. I kind of like that idea. I prefer that to the other stuff. It's much more than simply having a loving attitude towards other people. It's being wrapped or held in the Father's love. And we begin, as we are renewed, as we are transformed, we begin to love with his love. Instead of just being loving, we actually start to represent and be love. Not, of course, to the extent that he is love, but we begin to reflect the nature of the one who is living in us. In Matthew chapter 9, verse 16, Jesus' disciples come to him and say, Jesus, or the crowds come to him and they say, Jesus, your disciples are not fasting, but the disciples of the Pharisees and the disciples of John the Baptist, they're fasting. Why are your disciples not fasting? You know, why are you different? That was a charge that was leveled against Jesus many, many times in his life. Why are you different? Who gave you permission to be different? And Jesus just said, hey, look, the bridegroom's here. Let's have a party. You know, it's not a time for fasting. It's a time to have a party. And then he says something very, very profound. He says, no one sews a patch of new material onto an old garment, because it will just pull away. You don't get a new garment and cut a bit out of it and sew it over the hole. And Jesus' encouragement is, I think, to get rid of the old garment and to put the new garment on. You see, what many, many people do, and what I've seen so many people do, is they come to one of our Father Heart schools, they come to one of our encounters, and they hear about the love of the Father. Something inside of them resonates. But what they do is they just take a little bit as a patch and they stick it over the hole in their garment of religious performance or religious duty. And, you know, you can end up with a patchwork, you know, and that's not what it's meant to be like. We're not supposed to just take a little bit of this revelation and patch up the old. We're supposed to get rid of the old, chuck it out, and be clothed above all, put on love. Above everything, be clothed in love. And I know Barry will be the same, but, you know, over my time teaching on Father Heart schools and sharing this revelation, I've seen many, many people that have sadly been happy to settle for a patch of the Father's love stuck on an old garment. My experience is I couldn't wait to get rid of the old garment. you know, I just wanted this impartation of love into my heart, hook, line and sinker. I just wanted the whole lot, you know, and that doesn't make it easy. You know, the journey is not always easy, but I've set my heart to be rooted and grounded in love. And I ain't going back. I can't go back. I don't want a patch. I want a whole new garment. And I just want to encourage you this evening. There is so much more than a patchwork. There is a new garment that you can be clothed in. You see, the garment of love covers our fig leaves. And fig leaves are not great. You know, they're not the world's best item of clothing. But the garment of love covers the fig leaves. You see, we have to keep trying to repair our fig leaves. They get damaged and broken, and we're constantly caught up in this cycle of performance and duty, trying to make ourselves look good and polish the fig leaves and replace the fig leaves and find new fig leaves. And it's hard work. It's really, really hard work. And it's not very fruitful either. But this garment of love covers our fig leaves. It covers our shame. It covers our weaknesses. It covers our hurts. It covers our inadequacies. It's a love that will make you whole. It's an accepting love. When we are brought into the nature of Christ, he becomes our covering. The Father looks at us and he sees his Son, because we are in Christ. John 15 verse 9, Jesus says to his disciples, remain in my love. Remain in my love. That's what I want to do. That's my heart journey, is to remain in love, to be rooted and established in love, to be planted in love, to be clothed in love. You know, when the Father put the robe around the Son in Luke 15, it was a moment of vulnerability. The Son stood there before his Father. His Father had just embraced him. And the Son is probably still wondering what's coming next. It's an intense moment of intimacy and vulnerability, where that young Son is just standing saying, here I am, filthy, but here I am. And the Father covers him. When we come to the Father, it's the same for us. It's a moment of vulnerability. It's a moment of intimacy. It's actually a moment where we have to stand in our fig leaves and realize they're not really covering us very well. And just as Adam and his wife in the garden were naked and knew no shame, we have to come to that place where we are naked before him. Not physically, but he sees us. We allow him to see us as we are, and we allow him to clothe us with the garment of love. The more we're clothed in love, the more we will reflect the image of the Father, because we are in the Son, and the Son is the exact representation of the Father. Paul writes about that in Colossians. The writer to the Hebrews says it, you know, the Son is the exact representation. And the more we make our life in the Son, the more we are buried, if you like, in Christ. You know, that's what baptism is about, is being buried into Christ. And so the more we are in Christ, the more we too start to reflect the radiance of the Father's glory and the Father's love to the world around us. I'm going to invite Barry back on in a minute, but I just want to say again, there is no shame too great. There is no condemnation too great. There is no pain too great. There is no woundedness too great. there is nothing that prevents the Father putting that garment of love around you, apart from perhaps our own pride and independence. But he wants to clothe us tonight. He wants to put that love, that garment of love, around our shoulders. He wants to draw us into that embrace. I do believe it's there's a vulnerability in us to accept that as a gift from him. And I just want to ask you, and then I'll let Barry take over. Can you be vulnerable? Can you be vulnerable before the Father tonight and allow him to wrap that garment of love around you? Above all else, be clothed in love. It's good news. You need to unmute yourself, Barry.
Can you read my lips?
I knew there were great pearls of wisdom being shared, but I just wanted everybody to catch them.
I double muted myself here. I know I was muted on, but I thought, just to be careful. So thanks so much. Yeah, it was very, very rich, mate. Thank you for sharing that. I think it's, we'll be learning to become more and more comfortable with love for all the time we're here on earth, and you talk about, when you talk about, would we be comfortable with, just with love and being clothed with love. And, and I even think of Peter, after the Last Supper, and Jesus goes to wash him, and love was going to serve him. And of course, Peter's response was, no, I'm not going to receive this, right? Because it, in a sense, that was so humbling for him that Jesus would do that for him. And yet that's what love does for us. Love, mm-hmm. The humility of love just comes and it just breaks us, And I think of your story with just referring to the prodigal son and the father coming and putting that robe on that absolute, he was in the pig pen, that. What he was wearing, those clothes were pretty stinky, but it was the father had no concern about how that filth would affect the robe, his garments. It was like the garment, the royal robe, was covering everything. And I love to think how love comes, in that description there, because in that story it says that the father, fell on him and began to kiss him. But the Greek word there for kissing was he couldn't stop kissing him. And so when love comes, it's just I just believe it does humble us, it breaks us, it overwhelms us, but it's the most glorious thing, in that the Father just falls on us and he continues to kiss us and he covers us and he celebrates us. And I know from my own life, I to come to my senses, I need to kind of find myself in a pig pen of my own making. and basically, it doesn't have to be anything really bad, but just our own self-effort, where we're exhausted and we just need to be rescued. So, I just say yes and amen to everything you shared, mate. And I want more of that. Clothing, being clothed in his love as well, and just being the humility of love that serves us and honors us. And very good.
Why don't we just pray for a few moments, Barry?
Yeah, that would be awesome.
Can I just invite you all, just if this is possible for wherever you are at the moment watching this, is just to be in that place of being able to receive. See, the hindrances that we see as hindrances, the Father doesn't see as hindrances. The shame, the condemnation, the pain, the woundedness, they're not hindrances to him. And love is about to come. Love has been coming all evening. Mm. But I believe love is about to come. Mm. And the gentle arms of the Father are going to wrap a garment of love around you. You know, don't worry about all those other things I mentioned, the good things or the bad things. You know, just receive the garment of love. Yeah. So, Father, we do thank you. Thank you, Father, for your love. Father, thank you for the tangible presence of love right now. Thank you, Father, that love, your love, is right with each person at this moment. And so, Father, I just ask you to pour your love into all of our hearts. Father, that you would just cover our shame. You would cover our stupid fig leaves. You would cover our filth. Father, you would cover our brokenness. You would cover our anxiety with the security of your love. Just as a little child has a security blanket. Father, you're giving each one of us a security blanket. The security blanket of your love that is being wrapped around us. Mm. Father, just as that garment of love is put around our shoulders, may we feel the weight of all our burdens just lift off our shoulders. Father, may the pain that we feel in our heart, may that just be dissipated and be dissolved away. Mm. And Father, may your love be like a calm stream of living water that flows through our heart. And that we might get a glimpse of what it really means to have the fullness of the deity dwelling in us.
Yeah.
Father, I just ask that those who feel inadequate, unworthy, would have a revelation right now of their worth to you, that they're accepted by you, that they are not inadequate, but they are enough because they're your children. Thank you, Father, for what you're doing in people's hearts now. Mm. I just invite you, Father, invite you, Holy Spirit, to do more, to go deeper. Jesus said, I've come to give you life and life abundantly. Father, may we experience that abundant life as your love washes through our hearts.
Father, we thank you that I think there's a little bit of a prodigal son and an elder brother in all of us. And we all need a homecoming, Father.
Yeah.
And whether, Father, we have just tried to spend our inheritance prematurely or we have tried to find justification in our works, the invitation's the same.
Yeah.
come home. And so, Father, we just, in the best of our ability, just turn our hearts towards home.
Yeah.
Thank you, Father, that there's no judgment. Thank you, Father, there's your arms wide open with a big smile on your face, and you're running towards us.
Yeah.
Father, I pray that we would just all have that, the truth of who you are, just to see you as you are.
Yeah.
In the image of Jesus, the exact representation of your being.
Yeah.
And Father, that we would know that you're safe, that you're kind, that you're gentle, that you're compassionate,
yeah,
and that you are for us.
Mm.
In this very moment, you are for us. And that you have pledged your heart for us forever. Nothing in all creation can separate us from your love, Father.
Mm.
Yeah, so in this moment, Abba, we just breathe.
Yeah.
We just breathe in your love. Just breathe in your kindness.
Yeah.
Breathe in your forgiveness, your compassion, your mercy, your gentleness, your patience,
yeah,
your faithfulness, Father. Thank you, Father, for covering our nakedness.
Yeah.
Oh, for clothing us with your very being.
Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah.
Thank you, Abba.
Thank you.
Thank you, Abba.
Just as we close, I'm going to play the song I was playing at the introduction. Here is love, vast as the ocean. And just for the next 3 minutes, you're just welcome to go on receiving and soaking and letting that ocean of love roll into your hearts. Barry and I will be back next week. Same time, same place, I guess. Yeah, but just for now, enjoy.
Bless you.
Here is love as does the ocean, loving kindness as the flood. When the prince of a life, our ransom, shed for us his precious blood. Who is love will not remember, who can cease to sing his praise. He will never be forgotten throughout air and eternal day. Yeah. days. Let me seek thy kingdom only, and my life be to thy praise. Thou alone shalt be my glory. Thyself.